Tonight, we do an overview of chapters 17 to 24 of Canto 10. What's happening next week with the... Yeah, I know the schedule. It's like, where's he doing it? In the Prasada Mall. Okay, so here in the theater, Monday night, we'll have class. And then, what's Mara speaking of?
Sharanagi.
Okay, it's going to make it difficult because we have to finish when Mara is speaking. And then Tuesday night, we have to do Tuesday night the exam at 7 o'clock, so we can't do anything about that. And Monday night, yeah, we'll have to see. Because we have to finish the chapter, but... What do you suggest?
Can we have it a weekend
for the exam? I didn't ask you about the exam. The exam's next Tuesday. If you guys don't come, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. But the exam will be next Tuesday here at 7 o'clock in the theatre. I'm just discussing Monday night as an option. What do you want to do on Monday night?
So we have the rest of
the board then? Yep. Can we do Sunday? Nope. Evening? Nope. Okay, so Monday we'll have to work out what to do. Tuesday the exam's there either way. But there's nothing we can do like that. I can't stop for it every time a sannyasi comes, unfortunately, just because otherwise we can't finish them. Okay, so Tuesday, 7 to 9, that's the exam.
If we come up today in the recap, like if you have drawn the essence of the chapter, then we can complete it next Monday, or there's no classes on Tuesday?
After Tuesday, won't be any classes, because I'm going to India just after that. So. Yeah, won't be practical. We'll work it out. Not sure how to do it, but anyway, the exam's next week. And you'll need to hand in your... open book exams tonight, and your oral presentations also due to be finished by 9 o'clock tonight as well. So, Hare Krishna. Good luck to all of you. So, we'll do an overview. So, what is chapter 17 called?
Killing of
Kaliya.
The history of Kaliya.
Okay, so the chapter begins with a description of Salbari Muni meditating under the water of the Jamuna. Now Salbari, he commits an offense towards... You're going to have to find somewhere to sit down because you can't keep moving around. So. Why don't you just go over the back somewhere and sit down? Can you sit there the whole class? Why don't you go and sit at the back? I don't think you'll sit there the whole class. So Salbari Muni, he committed an offense to
Garuda.
Right? And Garuda is a Amala Vaishnava, means a pure devotee. So if you offend a pure devotee, your spiritual life becomes very difficult. So if you offend any devotee, your spiritual life becomes difficult. But particularly, Salbari Muni, he commits a great offense against Garuda. So, because of his great offense against Garuda, then Kaliya is able to enter into the Jamuna. And that's why the Jamuna becomes poisoned for all of that time. So Jamuna is poisoned. And because of that, the Brijbasis and the other living entities, they cannot enter into the Jamuna. So that takes place for a long, long time. No. Garuda cannot come there because of Salbari's curse. Kaliya takes shelter there, and therefore everything becomes polluted. Finally, Krishna goes there. Now, after the description of the history of what happens, then the previous chapter, Krishna was underwater, and he was fighting with Kaliya, and then he came onto an island in the middle of the river. He fought with Kaliya. But then it goes back to the pastime, where... Krishna is fighting against Kaliya. So at that time, Krishna has defeated Kali, he comes out of the water. And then he goes to the bank of the Jamuna. And at that time, the Brijbasis, they come forward. And they're so overwhelmed with ecstasy to see him that etiquettes are not followed. You know? This is Ragatmika Bhakti, or very, very advanced, spontaneous love for Krishna. The cowherd boys run to Krishna first, because the cowherd boys, they're so attached to Krishna. So they cannot do anything but run to Krishna. That's how absorbed they are in Krishna. And then, after being so absorbed in Krishna, the elderly gopis come. And the elderly gopis, when they run towards Krishna, then Nanda Maharaj also comes, and he goes through the gopis. So normally in Vedic culture there is segregation between men and women, but Nanda Maharaj, even though normally he would not just walk through a group of women, but he's so desirous to see Krishna that he just goes through. So their attachment to Krishna overcomes all even Vedic injunctions or dharma or attachment to rules and regulations. This cannot be imitated. We can't imitate this. We can't say, well, I'll go spontaneously to Krishna. At this point in time, we don't have that level of bhakti, or level of devotion, where we can break rules and regulations. We're on the platform of sadhana bhakti. We are sadhikas. So we have to follow rules and regulations carefully, very consistently and very perfectly in order to attain Krishna. We cannot attain Krishna by artificially renouncing the rules and regulations. Rupa Goswami warns against this, niyamagraha. He says that you should not be too attached to rules and regulations, but you should not also give them up whimsically. You have to focus on the rules and regulations very carefully until you become spontaneously attracted to Krishna. But because the Brijbasis are spontaneously attracted to Krishna, they don't need to follow rules and regulations. They'll just go to Krishna regardless, under any circumstances, even they'll give up social etiquettes and so forth. So Nanda Maharaj shows us the example of Prema Bhakti. So then, everyone decides to stay on the bank of the Jamuna for the night. It's very late and everyone just wants to be with Krishna. So everyone has a sleepover on the banks of the Jamuna. Everyone just takes rest on the ground, like camping trip with Krishna on the ground, on the Jamuna. So they are all resting, and then what takes place is there is a forest fire. This is the first forest fire. The second one comes a couple of chapters away. The first forest fire appears. Now, in the Ananda Brindavan Champu, is anyone reading that simultaneously while you're studying the 10th canto? Very, very, very worthwhile while you're doing this. Maybe you're going to have 3 months off starting from next week. There's no class in November, no class in December, and no class in January. And if Krishna allows us, we'll come back in February. No, but for 3 months. So I would advise you read the Ananda Brindavan Champu in that time. Because that will, it ties in all the intricacies of the pastimes, what takes place in between. It's extremely exalted subject matter. It's a commentary on the 10th canto by Kavi Karnapur. Kavi Karnapur was a great follower of Lord Chaitanya. Kavi Karnapur sucked on the toe of Lord Chaitanya when he was a baby. And he crawled up to Lord Chaitanya and sucked on his toe. And Lord Chaitanya empowered him to write about Vrindavan. So he writes the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, a very powerful Shastra. So, Ananda Vrindavan Champu says that while this forest fire was taking, before the forest fire was taking place, everyone slept on the bank of the Jamuna. This is where Radha and Krishna first became attracted to each other. Because leading up to this. But because everyone was sleeping, Krishna and Radharani, they were awake, they were looking at each other in the night. And all the gopis were awake. Others fell asleep, but the gopis were awake, and they were all looking at Krishna. But Krishna was only looking at Radharani. So the gopis, Chandravali and the others, they understood at that time that Krishna is especially attached to Radharani, above and beyond everyone else. So this pastime was taking place, and then because some of the gopis were awake, someone said, "There's a fire, fire." And then suddenly, fire manifested and surrounded all the bridge buses. So who was this fire? Or what does the fire represent? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this particular forest fire represents arguments and hatred in devotional service. Some people like to just argue for the sake of arguing. If you argue with other devotees for no good reason, this is an anartha. People like to just argue for no really good reason, just like because they like to argue. So they will argue with others. And hatred, coming from deep resentment towards Krishna, and then you treat other devotees with hatred or malice or very improperly, then this is what this pastime represents. The forest fire represents hatred and arguments. Argumentative mentality. So, Krishna evoked one of his shaktis, which is called Samharika Shakti. And this Samharika Shakti manifests. That Shakti, Samharika, means destruction. So Krishna's potency of destruction, and it swallowed the forest fire up. So on Krishna's behalf, the Shakti manifested, and it swallowed the forest fire. And Krishna, in his mouth, and the forest fire was gone. That was Krishna's potency. So that is chapter 70. What is chapter 18 called?
Lord Balaram slays the demon Pralamba.
Pralamba. Okay. So, Vrindavan, the chapter begins with a description of the cowherd boys and Krishna enjoying in Vrindavan. So why does Vrindavan exist? Yeah, to give Krishna enjoyment. It is Krishna's playground. It is his personal abode. It is constituted or existing on the platform of Krishna's pleasure potency. So Vrindavan manifests just simply to give Krishna pleasure. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they're enjoying in Vrindavan. And then one cowherd boy, Balarama Krishna, noticed that he's a little bit different. And that is Pralambasura. So he takes the form of a cowherd boy, comes in. And then there is some game between Krishna and the cowherd boys, Krishna's side and Balarama's side. Krishna says, "Let's have a game. So we'll wrestle." And it'll be like, come in, big wrestling match between the two sides. And whoever loses, they have to carry the others on their shoulders. So Krishna's side loses. So then Balaram and his friends, they get on the shoulders of the cowherd boys. Balaram gets on the shoulder of
Pralamba,
who is dressed as a cowherd boy. So then he's carrying Lord Balaram away, and then Krishna says to him, "Don't you know who's carrying you? Don't you remember who you are?" So Balaram momentarily, under the influence of Yogamaya, thinks, "Oh, a demon is carrying me." But then he thinks, "Oh no, I'm Balaram." Krishna says, "Don't you remember who you are?" So Balaram remembers. So this particular demon, he represents what? Lust and? Yeah, pride. But specifically? Not specifically Greek. But, oh yeah, it does. It actually mentions that. It mentions three things. So yeah, you're right. But mostly it's, are you going to do the exam? So represents, especially like pratishta, desire for fame and desire to attract the opposite sex, which is an anatta which all of us struggle with. We want to be attractive to the opposite sex, we want to attract the opposite sex, and we want to be famous and adored by others. So this particular demon is killed by who?
Balaram.
So there are two demons killed by Balaram. One is? Danuka. And the other one is?
Pralamba.
So why? Why does Balaram kill them, not Krishna? Yeah, Krishna helps, but he gives more emphasis to us dealing with these particular anattas. So the desire to have sex and the desire to be famous. And what does Danuka represent? It's like gross avidya or gross bodily conception of life. You don't have to worry about that. That was in the previous section. But pralamba you have to be aware of. So pralamba is representing the desire for a sex life. You have to give these things up. Krishna will help you. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says specifically, if you want to give this desire up, you have to follow the mood of Lord Balaram. And what is the mood of Lord Balaram? He wants to serve Krishna. So you have to develop the mood of service. That's the only way you can give up lust and attachment to sex, and attachment to the opposite sex, and attachment to fame. You have to have this desire to become a pure servant of Krishna. So chapter 19, what is chapter 19 called?
Swallowing the forest fire.
So this is the second forest fire. So the second forest fire Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the second forest fire is a friend of Pralamba who wanted to take revenge on Krishna. So wanting to take revenge, he took the form of the forest fire and he surrounded Krishna's cows. Now, if you especially want to upset Krishna, then upset Krishna's cows. What's that? Very good. His devotees. Or his cows, who are also his devotees. Yeah. So if you upset the devotees or the cows, Krishna becomes very upset. So the forest fire is surrounded like that, wanting to harm. So Krishna, he called out to the cows, to the devotees, and he said, "Don't fear, I will take this forest fire and I will destroy it." So Krishna went into the middle of the forest fire with the cows and with the cowherd boys, and then he said, "Everyone, you should close your eyes." So why does Krishna say this?
He didn't want to.
Yes.
He didn't want to see. He didn't want to make the prince his power.
Yeah, that's one reason. Very good. That's good. That's one reason. The other reason also. Why did Krishna make everyone close their eyes? Same as when Draupadi. Krishna would not appear fully or assist her fully until she let go. So if you're in the middle of a fire, just imagine this room's on fire and then someone says, "Just close your eyes and we'll take care of everything." You have to have complete faith in that person. So until you have complete faith in Krishna, then complete trust, you can't close your eyes. So the cowherd boys, they closed their eyes. And the cowherd boys said to each other, one of them said, he knows how to use mantras and jewels, so just trust him. So they said, it's okay, he knows what he's doing, just trust him. He knows mantra, he knows jewels. Right? Jyotish, just close your eyes. Right. And another cowherd boy said, we have to close our eyes because if he's going to do some mantra and use the jewels, he needs to just be by himself. He needs privacy. He needs to just be able to focus. So just close your eyes and let him work on it. So it means you have to completely trust Krishna. So the cowherd boys, they did that. And then Krishna used his Aishwarya Shakti. Aishwarya Shakti means like his supreme potency. And he took the forest fire and it landed in his palm as a drop of nectar, like Charanamrita, something like that. And then Krishna's, and it was gone. And then when everyone woke up, when everyone opened their eyes, where were they? Yeah, in Bandiravan, underneath the Bandiravat, the big banyan tree. All the cows were just sitting peacefully, and all the boys were there, and then they opened their eyes, and everyone was shocked. And they thought, Krishna, this must be Krishna's potency. How can he do this? So the point is that if we just trust Krishna, everything will be okay. Everything will be alright, but you must trust Krishna. And if you trust him, everything will turn out paka. 100%. Okay. So then, how does the chapter finish? That particular chapter? What's that? Something happens at the end of that chapter. Chapter 19. Anyone remember? There's a little bit more after Krishna swallows the forest fire. Remember the detail, anyone? Oh, 19. Swallow the forest fire.
'Yeah,
so it's leading into the next couple of chapters, basically. So, okay, so then what is chapter 20 called? Huh? The rainy season meant autumn in Vrindavan. So these seasons are very beautiful. What is the beautiful significance of the rainy season? According to Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Then what happens? In the rainy season, it's easier for Radha and Krishna to meet. Because when it's raining, everyone stays inside. So Radha and Krishna go out into the forest, and then they can meet together. Because of the rainy season. So it describes that some of their first intimate meetings take place at this time, during the rainy season. So all these different seasons, in Vrindavan, there are six seasons. So the different seasons, they facilitate Krishna's pastimes with their various flavors and tastes and aromas and moods which they create. So the rainy season gives Radha and Krishna the opportunity to meet intimately for the first time. Then, the autumn season. So we hear the description of autumn. And all through this chapter, there is many, many, many examples which are given. Very poetic examples. How particular things represent particular things. So in your exam, we might ask you to remember one of these examples, poetic example, or allegories, and explain it. Or we might not ask you to do that. We're not sure yet what we'll ask you to do. Which one? We might ask you to choose. Which one? Or we might choose a particular one, so you have to know all of them. Which is a big, it's a big chapter. There's many, many allegories. So I haven't written the exam yet, so I don't know. But there'll be something from this chapter. So all these different examples are there. Many, many, many examples. And they're very useful examples to use in our preaching. There are many examples there which Prabhupada wrote that book. What was it called? The Light of the Bhagavad, yeah. And Prabhupada chose that chapter when he was living in Vrindavan before he came to America. And in Japan, they were doing an art show, and one artist was going to make drawings based on the different examples which are given in the different verses in that chapter. And then Prabhupada wrote the little piece of philosophy which matches that particular description. And Prabhupada wrote it, and the art was done. But then, and Prabhupada, they said they're going to take him to Japan, but it never happened. He went to America later on. So many, many nice examples are given by Shukadeva Goswami. He gives comparisons of the Vrindavan forest to different things, so many different things, to give us examples from nature, from the natural beauty of Vrindavan. So then we have chapter 21. Now what is 21 called?
The Gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute.
Venu Gita. There are six or seven Gitas. Gitas means?
Songs.
In the 10th canto. There is the Brahma Gita. There is the Gopi Gita. There is the Mahishi Gita. There is the Venu Gita. There's about six or seven. So I'll tell you what they are as we go through the... But this is the first one. There's a Venu Gita. So this chapter is extremely intimate because it's the first chapter in the entire Bhagavatam which exclusively focuses on Madhurya Ras, or the highest rasa that the living entity can experience in the service of Krishna. So... No, Brahma Gita is the... It's spelled differently, not Brahma. Brahma, yeah, bee, bumblebee. When Radharani speaks to the bee. Yeah, it might be chapter 43 or something. It's like that. Much further in the Bhagavatam. So, this chapter exclusively focuses on Madhurya Ras. So it is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the highest relationship the living entity can have with Krishna in the spiritual world is Madhurya Ras. So Vrindavan, it creates the most wonderful atmosphere for Krishna's pastime. So the chapter begins with the description of Krishna and Balaram entering into the forest of Vrindavan. Now, Vrindavan erupts with ecstasy when it hears the sound of Krishna's flute as he enters in the morning into Vrindavan. And Vrindavan comes to life and full of color to reciprocate with Krishna. So Vrindavan is reciprocating with Krishna, and Krishna is called Madhupati. Madhupati means? The master of sweetness, or can also mean spring. Now the master of spring, the master of sweetness. So when Krishna enters into Vrindavan Dham, then Vrindavan reciprocates and it blossoms with ecstasy. And the flowers all begin to blossom and the birds begin to chirp and the bees begin to hum and the deer begin to prance around and everything becomes ecstatic just to reciprocate with Krishna. It is simply for Krishna's pleasure and pastime. So there is a detailed description of Krishna going into the forest of Braj. So we hear a description about the prema of the gopis on the platform of Mahabhav. This is the highest level of love for Krishna, which the gopis express in this chapter in relation to their feelings towards Krishna. So the acharyas point out that Lord Shiva or Brahma, Uddhava and Lakshmi, who are the topmost devotees, they covet, which means they're greedy to want to attain the love which the gopis have for Krishna. Extremely exalted love. So they want this love for Krishna. So therefore, Uddhava prays to take birth as a kundalata, a creeper. Lord Brahma says, let me also become a blade of grass. Shiva does austerities to become Gopishwara. Lakshmi is in across the Jamuna in Srivan performing austerities. So they all attempt to enter the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan, but none of them can enter fully. The Lord Shiva stands on the edge of the Rasa Mandala and he can witness the pastimes, but he cannot enter the pastimes. Lakshmi takes the form of a tuft of hair on Krishna's chest, Srivatsa, to witness the pastimes, but she cannot enter the pastimes. Brahma and Uddhava can hear about the pastimes and they pray to be trampled by the dust of the gopis' feet, but they cannot enter the pastimes. So this is the exalted position of the gopis of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the topmost renouncee, the topmost devotee, Krishna himself, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, experiencing Mahabhav, he prays just to become a follower of the gopis. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. So, the gopis are experiencing what is called Purva Rag. Purva Rag means? Separation before meeting, yeah. There's four types of separation from Krishna. So this means the lover has not yet met Krishna. They have not yet met Krishna. Even they have met Krishna. But they feel that they have not met Krishna. But by the influence of Yoga Maya, it happens again and again and again. Where do you want to go? Quick. So they may have met Krishna before, but the feeling, Yoga Maya every day gives the feeling that we are meeting Krishna for the first time. Just take your bag over, This is called Purva Rag. Purva Rag means like new feeling towards Krishna. So they have that ecstasy. And they speak in what is called Paroksha Bhav. Paroksha means indirect language. So they use all this indirect language because they are frightened that their elders may hear them speaking about Krishna. So they speak very indirectly. And they do not want other gopis who may be in opposing parties also to hear what they are saying. So they speak very indirectly about Krishna. So, then there's a description by the gopis of Krishna's form. And this is called Bhakti Rasayana. Bhakti Rasayana means? Yeah, rasayana means an elixir or a medicine or a tonic which will give you good health. Ayurveda gives you rasayana. So this is called bhakti rasayana. There's a very beautiful description, I think it's verse 6, of Krishna's form. And the gopis describe in great detail the form of Krishna. And we are meant to meditate upon this description. It's something you can do in Kartik. And Kartik is starting in a few days. What day? 7th, yeah. I'm actually starting it on the 16th. I can't say too much, but the temple's starting on the 17th, but I'm starting on the 16th. In Vrindavan and Mayapur, it starts on Purnima, like that. But there's always an argument that is it Purnima or Pratipat, so you can do with either one.
Yeah, because Nirvana Prabhu also takes everyone
on the water and Purnima. Yeah. And tomorrow is Ekadashi. Many devotees start Kartik tomorrow in Vrindavan. So it's up to you how you want to do it. It's all correct. Nothing is wrong. I'm starting on Sunday, on the 16th. That's where I'm going to start Kartik. So one thing you could do for Kartik is that you could meditate on this verse every day, Bhakti Rasayana. You could read it every day. And you can meditate while you're chanting your japa, Nama Rupa Guna Lila. You can begin to meditate. Yeah? We're meant to be advancing now in Krishna consciousness because we're studying the 10th canto. So you should take advantage of this study and description. So, it describes as Krishna enters in Vrindavan, he is intoxicated by his youth. So Krishna has become intoxicated by himself. When you're young and you're strong, you become intoxicated like a mad elephant. So Krishna is entering Vrindavan forest like a mad elephant. He has one flower behind one ear. Why does he put one flower behind one ear? Yeah. But why only one ear? Yeah, to attract attention. Because like when you're a kid, you get one earring. Right? You're supposed to have two. But you just wear one. Balaram wears one. Krishna sometimes just wears one earring. Or he just puts one flower. Because he wants to attract. And the gopis are on that side, he'll put it there. And the gopis on that side, he'll put it there. Yeah? So he's in the mood of being intoxicated by his own youth. Everything is for his pleasure. And Vrindavan is simply for his pleasure. And the gopis are also intoxicated by his form and the way he attracts. He dresses himself with the natural beauty of the ornaments which are presented to him by the forest of Vrindavan. So it says that Krishna, he's the most beautiful in Vrindavan. Because he simply decorates himself with the ornaments of the forest. The flowers, the gunja berries. So Krishna, he becomes completely intoxicated by Vrindavan's beauty. And he decorates himself by that. And he becomes more beautiful and more attractive to the gopis. So, the gopis, they become envious of the flute. There's descriptions where the gopis, they begin to criticize the flute. Why is the flute always able to associate with him? Why the flute can take the nectar of his lips? Why the flute can continuously taste the sweetness of Krishna, but we cannot? So this is Mahanaika Mahabhav. It's very, very, very advanced prema. Love for Krishna, where the gopis are feeling that we're so attracted to Krishna they become mad, and even inanimate objects like the flute, they begin to criticize the flute and they have conversations with the flute. You'll see in the Brahma Gita later on where Radharani has a conversation with a bumblebee. This is madness. This is the highest levels of prema. So the gopis gave up four things to be with Krishna. What are the four things which were mentioned by Vishnu? Kula. Kula means? You have to give up your family if you want to be with Krishna. What else?
Dharma.
You have to give up religious principles if you want to be with Krishna. What else?
Shyness.
You have to give up shyness to be with Krishna. And? Bhaya means fear. These four things you have to give up. Not easy to give these four things up. Can you give up your attachment to your family? To your daughter? To your family? Not easy. To give up attachment to the family. To give up attachment to Dharma. Very difficult. Religion. The different religions that your family follows. Can you give these things up? Fear.
And shyness.
Can these very difficult to give these things up? But the gopis are willing to give these things up to get to Krishna. And you can only get to Vrindavan if you're willing to give these things up. And it's not easy to give these things up. But the gopis, they do it. That's how attached they are to Krishna. They begin to experience different conflicting emotions. What are the conflicting emotions the gopis experience?
Envy,
pride, bewilderment, and humility simultaneously. Because so much, Krishna is stirring up so much rasa, so much emotion in their heart, in the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, in the ocean of bhakti, he's just creating tidal waves of emotions within the gopis' hearts. That they have conflicting emotions. They become bewildered by Krishna. They become proud. I'm not surrendering to Krishna. They become humble. That after Radharani, she becomes envious of the flute. Why is the flute with Krishna? And then she becomes very proud. I should be with Krishna. And she's becoming like bewildered. But then she thinks, but if Krishna hears me speak like this, he will abandon me. So she becomes humbled. So they have these conflicting emotions which Krishna churns in the heart of the Prema Bhaktas. And the gopis display the highest levels of emotion in attachment to Krishna.
Mahabhav,
yeah. Yeah, there's different types of Mahabhav, which are there also. The gopis, in their madness, they begin to see everyone else in Vrindavan as more fortunate than them. So who do they see as more fortunate?
The does, the deer.
Yeah, then? The deer, yeah, the does. Yeah, the demigoddesses. Yeah, the river. The what?
Clouds.
The clouds, yeah, very good, the clouds. What else? Yeah, the Palinda women. Very good. The Palinda women. So they begin to see everyone else as being more fortunate than themselves. In madness, they see the deer are more fortunate, the clouds are more fortunate. They're talking about everything in Vrindavan. The Palinda women are more fortunate. And then they finally say, Radharani herself says, and the most fortunate person is Giriraj. Govardhan Hill, he is the most fortunate because he is the greatest devotee, Haridasya Varja. So this term is used three times in the Bhagavatam, Haridasya Varja. For Uddhava, for Yudhishthira, and for Giriraj. But Giriraj is the most, he's the topmost devotee because Radharani herself says, of all the devotees, he is the greatest devotee of Krishna. So then, chapter 22.
Krishna steals the garments of the unmarried gopis.
He steals the garments, yeah, of the unmarried gopis. So, they only desire one person as their husband. Who is that?
Krishna.
So every morning they're doing the Kachayani Brat. When does the Kachayani Brat begin? The day after Kartik. So Kartik starts on Sunday, and then after Kartik begins on that final Purnima, on the Pratyupada the next day, then Kachayani Vrat begins. It's cold in Vrindavan at that time. Goes into winter. So that would be the middle of
November.
Yeah, well actually, yeah, the end of November. So December. So December and January in Vrindavan are very cold. So they go to the Jamuna River every morning and they take bath in the Jamuna in cold water. And they only eat... What's it called?
Avishya.
No? Which means khichdi without spice and without salt. I can see some of your faces just thinking about them.
Nothing is called avishya.
Yeah, that's the one. So every day, only eat rice and dal, with no spice, no salt, no ghee. Very, very simple.
Moong dal.
Moong dal as well.
Only moong dal.
All moong, yeah.
Moong and rice.
Yeah, very, very austere. So they're just performing great austerity. Why? To get Krishna as their husband. So what are the gopis teaching us? If you want to get Krishna as your husband, you have to take brat. Brat means vow. So in Kartik, that's why we say Kartik brat, urja brat. You should be thinking already, what will you do? What will be your sankalpa, your determination? Mangalati every day. 32 rounds every day. Bhakti Sa Prabhu, remember Bhakti Sa? Used to live here. Last year or the year before, he's Kartik Brat, read the whole 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam in 1 month. So he did. Every day, a minimum 2 hours reading every day. It was actually Amiyatma Prabhu, one of my friends, he sent a link today and he said one quote from Prabhupada, 1972, in Vrindavan. And devotee said to Prabhupada, Kartik Vrat, Urja Vrat, what vows should we take? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day and give up eating and sleeping.
Wow.
Prabhupada said, that should be our vow. 1 month. Nothing else, just chant. And give up eating, give up sleeping. And Prabhupada laughed. He said, but you cannot do. So we should try. Even if you only chant one extra round a day, then Kartik you should chant extra. And you go to Mangalati every day and you can read extra or read to then chant different ashtikas and different things you can do. Dambadhara ashtika every day, you Prabhupada said we should do. Offer the deep every day. You can do these things. We offer the candle. Actually, in the Shastra it says you should offer ghee lamp. That means you have to make it yourself. Then you can bring it. And it says if you take a twig, little stick from the Tulsi tree, and you offer, then you get 10,000 times more benefit. It's so powerful. In Kartik, everything you do, you get thousands of times more benefit. And if you do anything wrong, you get thousands of times more reaction.
So, Guru Maharaj said that if you are here, if you come to this heaven, you won't get any offense.
No, if you commit offense in Vrindavan, it's worse.
That's what he said. He said if you come to my approach, you will be forgiven of all the offense.
Depends what the offenses are. I mean, Mayapur is very lenient, but it doesn't mean you go there and you just do whatever you want.
No.
You have to be very, very careful. Mayapur is a very powerful place.
We all know that.
All of us know that. We know Mayapur is more merciful. We all know that. But still, you have to be very careful in Mayapur. Mayapur is not an ordinary place.
So, they stick in the
you just put the twig, on the lamp, and you just wrap the ghee lamp around the twig.
Oh.
And do. Whenever I worship Guru Raj, then I just put the twig.
You mean the stick in the in the garden?
Yeah, just put it there. You know, get the ghee wick is already there. And then you just put it there and then you just wrap it and then you offer. It's not hard. Just put a twig and wrap it around. So, they take vows to achieve Krishna. So the basic message of the gopis is that if you want to achieve Krishna, you have to take vrata. You have to be extremely determined. Yavasiyapmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. You have to be fixed. They were fixed. They would not marry anyone else but Krishna. So they forced Krishna to reciprocate with them. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So, because they were so serious, Krishna reciprocated. So, Krishna suddenly appeared there. And he stole the clothes of the gopis. Now, one of the essential points of this pastime is that Krishna was completely free of lust. And the gopis were completely free of lust. So even though he stole their clothes, and then he joked with them, and he forced them to come before him completely naked, but there was no lust in this exchange between Krishna and the gopis. It was completely free from lust. So you can only enter Vrindavan when you're completely free from lust. Otherwise, not possible. So Krishna joked with them, and then finally he takes everything from them. Full surrender. In other words, he fully accepts their love, their devotion, and accepts them as his wives. So it's like a Gandhava marriage. He accepts them in an unknown place without knowledge of the parents. So then we have chapter 23. What is chapter 23 called?
The Brahmana's wives are blessed.
The Brahmana's wives are blessed. So the gopis, they fully surrender. And then the Brahmana's wives, they've never met Krishna. But they become completely attached to Krishna just by hearing about Krishna from? Yeah. The different Polinda women who were selling garlands and flowers and different things from Vrindavan, who are seeing Krishna, when they come, the wives of the Brahmanas, they hear about Krishna. Just by hearing about Krishna, they develop complete Krishna consciousness and they develop love for Krishna. So then, Krishna, he is asked by his cowherd boyfriends, please, can we go and get something for you to eat? So they first of all say to Krishna, we are hungry. So once again, it's paroksha. Parokshavad means indirect. I am hungry, but they're not hungry. I mean, they are, but their consciousness is they want to feed Krishna and Balaram. That is called Atmavan Seva. Atmavan Seva means, as I am feeling, the deity must be feeling. If I am hungry, the deity must be hungry. If I'm cold, the deity must be cold. If I'm hot, the deity must be hot. So that is how we should serve the deity, Atmavan Seva. Whatever I'm feeling, the deity must be feeling. And then you have like that. Just like, you know, if you're in one room in the house, and you have the fan on, or the air conditioner, but the deity's in another room, the deity's hot, and there's no fan, there's no air conditioner, then how can you live with yourself? And the deity must have the best facility. Or like Prabhupada says, you just offer the deity some nuts and some sultanas, and then you have Rajbhog. So you have a big tali, but the deity just gets some little jaggery, some rock candy. So people do like that. They just offer the deity some little bit of sugar and then they have a big tali. Many people do that. So that is not Atmavan Seva. It means you put yourself before the deity. So the coward boys, they say to Krishna, please, we are hungry. And Krishna says, go not far from here, there's some brahmanas, go and beg. Beg in the name of Krishna and Balaram. Say Balaram first, because Balaram is a kshatriya. They'll be more inclined to give food stuff to Balaram than to me, because I'm Vaishya. So they say, go and do like that. So then Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys go and they ask in the name of Balaram and Krishna, and say, please give something. This pastime represents, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the fault of indifference due to high birth. You become very high birth and you become very proud. And then you cannot attain Krishna. So, this pastime teaches us we have to be very careful when we go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri. You have to be very careful. Or you could say when you come to the temple. Or you could say even in your own home, which is an ashram where you worship the deity, you have to be very careful how you act, how you behave. So if you come to the temple, especially if you go to Vrindavan, you have to be very careful. So these brahmanas are in Vrindavan, but they're acting improperly. Krishna's friends come, pure devotees come, they don't respect them. And the coward boys offer obeisances on the ground, like sticks. But the coward boys are much more advanced than them, and they say, please, you are such qualified brahmins, please give some charity for Krishna and Balaram. And they just, out of pride, they will not even answer them. So, brahmanas must be qualified. You can't say I'm a brahmana in name only. You can't say I am a brahmana. You have to have the adhikar, the qualification. Guna karma. You have to have the qualities and you have to have the activities of a brahmana. You can't just speak it. So then they go away, and then Krishna and Balaram say, go back, ask the wives. So they go back, and the wives sitting on gold seats, but when they see the cowboys come, they get up. As soon as they hear Krishna and Balaram's name, they become ecstatic. They grab pots, they run into the forest, they go directly to Krishna and Balaram. When they see Krishna and Balaram, Krishna is twirling a
lotus flower
in his hand. What does that represent?
His heart.
Yeah, I've captured you. So Krishna is twirling. When you're in love with someone, your head twirls, your heart twirls, you become agitated. So he is agitated. He has love for them, they have love for him. So then, Krishna unites with them in their hearts. Because Krishna cannot externally unite with them. Even though he feels like he wants to, but he cannot. And his Aishwarya Shakti comes up by Yogamaya's potency to make him feel that he is supreme, and then he forgets that mood of uniting with the wives of the brahmanas.
What is it, Shakti?
Aishwarya Shakti.
Aishwarya
Shakti. So then, the only way that they can unite with Krishna, they have to take birth as gopis. So one of them actually gives up their body. One of them, who was held back by her husband, she goes into meditation, gives up her body, and then she takes birth as a gopi. If you want to serve Krishna directly in Vrindavan Dham, you have to take birth as a gopi or a gopa. Otherwise, not possible. So then, when they go back, the wives of the cowherds, the wives of the brahmanas, Krishna says, go back. And just meditate on me within your mind. So they go back, and then by their association, the brahmanas also become purified. which shows us that we only can advance in Krishna consciousness as much as the association we receive. And then chapter 24 is called? What is it?
Worshipping
Govardhan here. So what does this pastime represent? It tells us, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the inferiority of devata worship, worshipping demigods. Give up worshipping demigods, just worship Krishna. Krishna's to Bhagavan? Swayam. Stop worshipping Lord Shiva and all of the other demigods separate from Krishna. You should only worship Krishna. So, in this pastime, Krishna is joking with Nanda Maharaj, because Nanda Maharaj, Krishna is back in the village with the brahmanas, and then Nanda Maharaj is there trying to arrange for the brahmanas to do the Indra Puja, and then Krishna begins to joke. And he says, do you even know what you're doing? And this is what it's like. People in India, they do it. We gave the example of the cat under the basket. Right? So then, you don't even know why you're doing what you're doing. You just do it. People do that. Right? Even in the West, right? In Christianity and all these religions, people don't even know what they're doing anymore. They just come along and do it. And in India, in the Vedic culture, people don't even know what they're doing anymore. They're just doing all these traditions and jagyas and pujas, right? And you get these things tied on you and you do all these things. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what that means. So you get all these things done, but you don't know the meaning of it. So Krishna is criticizing. He's joking around. Is this because of some Shastric thing? Or is this just some cultural thing? Is some village tradition? What is it? So he's having some fun with everyone. So then, Krishna indicates that we must develop real taste in Krishna consciousness. Don't just do things for the sake of doing it, but do it because you're attached to Krishna. And if you're attached to Krishna, you won't give up Krishna's service because of envy or greed or anger or any distractions. Nothing will distract you. But if you're not attached to, if you're just into rituals, as soon as you get distracted, you'll give up your attachment. So Krishna is saying, give up your attachment to worshipping demigods and all these rituals and just worship me and become attached to me. Don't get distracted by all these other things. So there's an internal reason for the Govardhan Leela and the external reason. What is the external reason? To crush the pride of Indra. Right? And what is the internal reason? 7 days and seven nights to be with all of the devotees in Vrindavan to fulfill their desire to be with Krishna without break. So Indra is doing a great service because he floods Vrindavan. We'll hear about that next year, what happens in the pastime. So then Krishna begins to preach to his father to convince him not to do the Indra Puja. He preaches to him Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Karma Mimamsa means karma is supreme, which is ridiculous because karma is not supreme. Who is supreme? Krishna. Krishna is supreme. So this is Krishna telling his father that karma is supreme. Don't worry about Indra. Even if you don't worship Indra, if you're just a good person, everything good will come. Just be good. So these days you hear this all the time. In the West, people say this all the time. Just be good. Doesn't matter what you believe, just be good. Like that. In India they say it too. Just be good. Do your work. Just be good. That is everything. So Krishna is preaching like this to Nanda Maharaj. Just be good. Just do your work. You don't have to worship Indra. So he's just having fun. He's just enjoying himself. Okay, so that's it for the year.